I think, you know, I've always had that kind of desire to represent your country, and I think it's probably doubled with, you know, a few people saying, oh, you'll never do that if you're studying medicine or being a doctor. So that's kind of, you know, fueled my fire a bit to prove some people wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to get the opportunity.
Yeah, that was Georgia Redmayne chatting to us about 6 months ago about her ambitions to represent her country in cricket. And recently she received the call up to join the Australian women's cricket squad, who'll take on India in Queensland later this month. She's also notably qualified as a doctor and has recently returned from the UK after playing for the Welsh Fire in the 100 competition. Therefore, I thought it'd be timely to ask her to come back for a chat. Georgia, thanks for joining us again, and well done on making the national squad.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back on. And yeah, I can't believe you found that voice recording from, I can't even remember, that would have been maybe February or March or something potentially.
Yeah, I think it was after Queensland's win from memory in the WNCL final. So a lot's happened since then, not only in your life, but around the world, I think in general, it's fair to say. It's interesting. Normally, calls or notifications after 2 a.m. are something you steer clear of, at least in my experience. But I understand that's how you found out about your elevation into the Aussie squad. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I was over in England, as you were saying. I was, the UK, in Wales, technically, playing in the 100 competition. And, you know, bit of a restless sleeper. So I kind of, you know, like being overseas as well, you wake up in the middle of the night and there's about, you know, all these notifications on your phone coming from back home. So I looked at one of them, and one of them was from my coach back home, just saying, oh, I think Flegs is the national selector, is trying to get on to you, just wanting to know about your quarantine details. And I'm like, oh, that looks important, and kind of woke me up a little bit. And so I send a little message to him to say, hey, I get back these dates and I've got 2 weeks of quarantine. And then I get a message straight back from him saying, are you free for a chat? And I was like, oh, possibly not. It's at the end of the morning. Can I give you a call like once I wake up? Because, you know, I didn't want to be making a, you know, important call whilst I was still half asleep. But yeah, I called him the next morning around 8 a.m. and yeah, it was amazing. I it basically just said that I've been called up to play selected in the squad to play India. So I was absolutely thrilled. And yeah, had a little bit of a jump around my room, I think, early morning. and then, yeah, it was kind of, it's strange being out, like, I guess, overseas, kind of by yourself away from everyone who you'd normally share the news with. But, I gave a call home to my mum and dad, told them first, which was pretty exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Just on that, though, if you saw the name of the selector up, was there a part of you that's like, oh, gee, I'm going to struggle to get back to sleep now? Or did you think, oh, I'll just wait till the morning?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, nobody wants to talk. And I didn't want to get my hopes up too much. But
right,
it did take me a little bit of time to get back to sleep because, you know, my mind was started to race about all the possibilities.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, got back to sleep eventually. And then, had that call in the early morning and then went down for breakfast with, you know, a little skip in my step, really, that day.
Fair enough. You've worked hard for so many years to get to this point as well. I think people would realise that. Are you a sentimental type of person who gets a tad emotional when thinking about your path to make the Aussie squad? And were your family the first group of people you told ultimately?
Yeah. So I think, I called my mum and dad first and told them. But yeah, like I think, you know, being part of the squad is one thing. But I think, if I do get the chance to pull on the green and gold and debut, I think that might be when I get a little bit emotional, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens. We'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I think, like as you said, it's been a bit of a long haul. And, it's something that I'd kind of thought that it would never happen. So, it's pretty special to kind of get that acknowledgement and inclusion in the squad. And, you know, it's a multi-format series too, so chance to be selected in the ODIs and the Test match, which doesn't come around too often.
Just on that point about potentially being part of the starting 11, the Aussie coach Matthew Mott on a radio interview earlier this week said there was a natural cause for concern about players coming out of quarantine and playing a condensed schedule after such a long off-season where players, a lot of them haven't played since March, April, have they? So you probably have the advantage of being match-hearted given your time in the 100. But can that be a difficult thing to manage for players that you know of, particularly for those returning from injury or who have had injury niggles over the last 6 to 8 months?
I guess so. I think it probably depends on the role within the team. Obviously, probably more of a load management is more of a concern for fast bowlers than, say, batters. But, I think it's certainly something to consider. And I think, you know, there's 12 of the squad of 18 and now I think they've just started a two-week quarantine up in Brisbane. So, it certainly changes, I guess, the way that, I guess, you know, I'm glad I'm not part of the support staff that have to try to manage all of that. Kind of managing workloads and making sure that they're doing the right thing, that everyone's, you know, fit and ready to go for each game and trying to make sure that, you know, they're getting the best out of everyone and not overcooking anyone too. So, it'll certainly be interesting. And, I think it's nice to have played a few games, but, I wouldn't really say too heartened. It's only a 100-ball game that I've been playing, so might be a bit of a change of scene going to 50 overs and test matches. But, I'm pretty lucky. I think I've got a little bit of a buffer time once I get out of quarantine before joining the squad, so I'll be able to get back into training so I'm ready to go once I join the squad.
Speaking with Georgia Redmayne on the line, you've been well-travelled as a domestic player. You've played all over Australia for different teams. Do you find it an easy process to gel into a different team and dynamic as you would if you get the call up to play for a match for Australia? Obviously, it's a completely different dynamic in itself playing for the national team. Do you find it easy to adapt?
That's a good question, actually. Like, I think, obviously I've had the benefit of moving around a bit from, I started back in New South Wales, went to Tasmania, now up in Queensland, and played Big Bash in Perth and Tassie in Hobart and now at the Heat. So, I've certainly had to adapt to different teams and, just recently having gone over to Wales as well. It is certainly a little bit different kind of coming into the Australian setup. It's not like they're complete strangers. You're people that you've been playing kind of against for the last however many years. So, it's certainly nice to have a few of them on my team rather than against them, that's for sure. It is like, it's international cricket's a new scene in itself that, I've never really experienced. That'll make it nice and new and fresh. And, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a magnificent series. Hopefully it's a tight one as well. The series has been moved, obviously, to Queensland due to the COVID situation and border closures, which have affected Sydney, Melbourne and Perth, where a lot of matches were going to be played. You're going to be playing in, I think, Mackay and on the Gold Coast as well. As someone who plays in Queensland, does the humidity and the conditions up there make any discernible difference, or does it not really matter?
I'm kind of someone who likes a little, like, likes it being a little bit more hot and humid. I think I think it makes me focus a little bit harder, and when you know you're kind of in there and you're in a bit of a battle as well, I think I kind of like that little bit of toughness, and I like to think I'm a bit of a battler. So I don't really mind it, and I was so stoked when I heard the news that the games have been moved to Queensland. Obviously it's my home state now, and I play my club cricket on the Gold Coast, and I've lived there for 2 years, not living there at the moment, but so it's certainly like another home to me, and I'm really looking forward to hopefully playing in front of, I guess, the home crowd at the Gold Coast, and travelling up to Mackay will be great too. I've never been up there, but it'll certainly be quite hot and humid up there, and the Indians might feel at home actually, but I think from what I've heard, the WBBL games that have been hosted there, they've had incredible crowd support, and it's really nice to be able to play in some regional areas.
Yeah, I think they hold, it must be in the top few crowds for a match in the WBBL from memory, Mackay, so they do get around it, particularly in the regional areas. Speaking with Georgia Redmayne, who recently got the call up to the Australian women's cricket squad, the Indians are obviously going to be eager to atone for that T20 World Cup final loss last year. They have a number of dangerous players, including Shefali Verma and Poonam Yadav, who caused havoc in the opening game of that World Cup last year. What are their most dangerous attributes as a team from your perspective?
I think there's so many match winners in their team. I know that I've come up against a few of them just recently playing in the 100. Smriti Mandhana was in excellent form, especially when she was playing the Welsh Wire, unfortunately. she strikes it so cleanly and has such a great bat swing. So they've got a lot of match winners. Jemima Rodrigues, again, had another amazing tournament in the 100. I think she was the top run scorer or second top run scorer. Shefali Verma has just come on the scene and can absolutely destroy an attack, as we found in an Australia-A India A series a couple of seasons ago that I played against her. Yeah. And again, she arrived on the international scene just after that World Cup and dominated there and really made the transition into the Indian team in all formats recently, playing in England. So, yeah, they've got a lot of really good players and a lot of experience there too. So, you know, one of those players can really, you know, run away with a game. And I think that's, you know, something that you have to kind of be aware of and on our guard and making sure that we're playing our best cricket to counteract that.
Do you find the Indians could be deceptively slower with the ball because of the different conditions they're accustomed to in the subcontinent?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think most of their attack, if you look at it, the vast majority of them are spinners and quite slow spinners at that. And it's probably not something that Australian batters are very accustomed to. Because I guess, you know, most spinners here will be trying to bowl more quicker and get more cram the batters up a bit and try to bowl stump to stump. Whereas I think... some of the Indians really take the pace off it and, you know, it goes above the batter's eye line and you just see them charge out. And I think that's how Poonam got a lot of wickets in that World Cup, just deceives the batters just with the lack of pace. So, yeah. I think since that tournament, you know, I think the girls would have learned a lot from that. And, it'll be an interesting battle this series to see kind of, I guess, the lessons learnt from previous games against them.
Speaking of the Aussie team, who have you never played alongside before in that Australian team? If you get the call up, obviously, to the starting 11, who would you look forward to playing alongside the most? I know you don't want to play favourites or anything like that, but is there anyone that you've looked up to and admired from afar that you'd really enjoy playing alongside?
That's a good question, actually. I'm trying to think of, because I've played with, I reckon, most of them at some point or another.
Been around Australia playing for everyone.
I've been around a lot of teams. I'm trying to think if there's anyone who I haven't played with.
That is a tough question on the spot because a lot of them are New South Wales players, and you were originally part of that New South Wales squad.
Yeah, I played originally at New South Wales with a lot of those girls, and it's a good question. And I think, like, you know, through kind of Oz A and some other teams, I've managed to play with a lot of the big girls. But maybe Darcy Brown, I haven't played with her before. Looking forward to play. I think it's hard to nail it down to one. They're just a well-beater team, really, at the moment. They're, on a record win of ODI victories. And, it's pretty exciting to be a part of that and to be added to the squad, I think, is a huge honour. And I think just being around the group as a whole, I think the team itself has made history as a collective. So being able to be included in that, I think, is what I'm really looking forward to.
Speaking with Georgia Redmain on the line, tell us about your experience playing for the Welsh Fire in the 100. I mean, you scored a boundary, I think, every 3.2 balls on average during the power play, which I think was a tournament high for the most part anyway. How did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah, I think I got tagged in a social media post about that stat, and it wasn't, you know, it's one of those kind of random stats that, you know, a statistician on Twitter's kind of gone crazy and like hopped down this kind of left field stat. So I'm like, oh, I was pleasantly surprised by that. I think, sometimes statistics work in your favour. I wasn't opening the batting for most of it, but was batting at 3 for a lot of the competition. So probably didn't have quite the number of balls than, people who are opening every game. But, it was the competition as a whole. I loved it. I thought it was a great experience. We got to play on some of the best grounds in the country. I think I was really devastated that the draw worked out that I didn't get to play at Lord's, but got to play at like the Oval and Edgbaston. In Cardiff, we got to play at the Fire Gardens, and you know, to play in front of, you know, in big grounds like that, and playing in front of crowds that were regularly over 10,000, yeah. It's not really something that we experience back home in domestic cricket. So that was something that was really special, and you know, the atmosphere at the ground, and all the kids and families that got involved, most of whom had never really seen a cricket game before. I think it will do wonders for the game over there, and I think the competition will just keep growing. So yeah, like, I think it was a fantastic tournament to be a part of, and yeah, some funky rule changes, I guess, from the traditional version of cricket, but I think it worked really well. It was over and done with quickly, and kind of felt like a T20 game, but less running between ends, which was kind of nice, actually.
I could imagine. As a cricket venue nothing, by the way, very, very jealous that you got to play at a lot of those grounds. Tell us about the Welsh culture as well. Did you get time to do anything touristy while you're over there? Because I think in the UK, for the most part, it's almost back to normal in a way.
Yeah, I think, you know, the UK, like, I think when we got over there, they were just, you know, pretty much ending all restrictions. So it's kind of like a different world in a way. We were still kept in a somewhat little bubble in a way, like just trying to protect us from catching COVID. So we could only eat outside at restaurants and at like specific places that had been cleared by the COVID officer. So we're getting a lot of kind of Deliveroo in and that type of thing. So we weren't mixing with the public a huge amount because there's obvious certain COVID protocols that we had to stick to. But managed to do a little bit of exploring, a little bit around Cardiff and around the Glamorgan coast as well, which was stunning. I had a day out there just go for a little walk. So it was a nice little escape from the hotel for a bit. And yeah, the culture there is great. I think I spent a whole afternoon trying to nail down the longest town name in the world, which is a very, if you like ever want to just Google Welsh town name, it'll probably come up because it's got about 30 letters, and I can nail the pronunciation for you. So you ready?
Yep.
So Clanfar push wingish go gary quin drobush clantasili or go go go.
Goodness
and,
me.
there's probably about 3 vowels in the whole word. So yeah, had to learn a bit of Welsh, but really enjoyed it.
Well, if you can nail that one, you could potentially learn the whole language very soon. Talk to me about playing alongside Hayley Matthews as well. You had a good partnership in one of the matches. Tell us about playing alongside her and her characteristics.
Yeah, she's great. I was lucky enough to, I played 2 seasons with her when I was at Hobart Hurricanes. So
that's right.
We knew each other pretty well, and you know, we opened the batting together back in Hobart, so we kind of knew how each other's games worked pretty well kind of going into the tournament. And I think that's really nice that you can, you know your batting partner, and you know how they tick and how they like to, you know, get off strike or score runs essentially. So yeah, I think we complemented each other pretty well too. And yeah, well, I was lucky enough to, I think I batted with her in most games, to be honest. But yeah, we managed to get a few good partnerships in. And yeah, she's someone who's always very relaxed and chilled, as, you know, most West Indian players are. So always good fun to be around and good for a laugh. So yeah, really enjoyed being able to play with her again.
Good stuff. We're speaking with Georgia Redmayne. Just a few more before I let you go. Before this whole whirlwind occurred for you over the last few months, you were working in, obviously we know you're a doctor, you were working in Lismore, weren't you, in some sort of medical capacity. Can you tell us a bit about that and what you actually do? Because it's very, very interesting and very rare in this day and age to have a professional player, I guess, in any sport combine their duties with being a doctor.
Yeah, so I think, well, last time we spoke, I would have, because I'd been working since I graduated at the Tweed Hospital for 2 years and finished up there. And this year I was kind of thinking, you know, I wouldn't, you know, get a permanent contract and just try to do some casual locum work where I could pick that up. And yeah, managed to get a placement in Lismore in June. So I kind of had locked that in before I'd heard about the 100 competition. So I think, yeah, I kind of had that a month working full time in the surgical ward at Lismore, which was really nice because it's where my mum and dad live essentially. So could go home for 4 weeks and get some lovely home cooked meals. But yeah, working at the hospital, it was nice. It was you know, it's a different world, and it keeps me busy and keeps my mind going. And But it was certainly a busy time because I just found out about the 100. So I was trying to, you know, make sure that I finished work. It was a long day at work, and then I'd go for a run or gym or skills or any combination of the three, trying to get my training in after work. So I was pretty tired by the end of those 4 weeks. And then, yeah, had another 2 weeks, I think, before I flew over to England. But certainly not the normal preparation, I would say. But, you know, I've come pretty used to balancing both over my time. So it wasn't too foreign for me.
Yeah, we spoke about that at length last time. It's quite amazing, and you should be very proud of yourself. Don't worry, no doubt about that. Just before I let you go, last one. You're in hotel quarantine at the moment in Queensland. How are you negotiating with that, obviously? And do you have a go-to TV series to keep you occupied? I can imagine as a doctor you'd be the type maybe to watch the medical dramas, or do you steer clear of that?
Oh, I should probably, like, binge some more series, to be honest. I think the last medical drama I watched was The Good Doctor, yes. But I haven't finished. I was, like, maybe midway through it. Haven't watched it for a while, but, I've been keeping pretty busy, actually. Queensland Cricket were great, and they brought in an exercise bike and some gym equipment. So I've been trying to make sure that the fitness is still there once I get out of 2 weeks of quarantine. Been watching a bit of Australian Survivor on the TV as well, like that show. So, watching a couple of movies as well. So, yeah, keeping occupied. I haven't gone crazy yet, day eight of 14 days. But, been pretty lucky, actually, where I am. I think we got pretty much herded off the plane onto a bus and then got told we were coming to the Gold Coast when we'd assumed that we'd be quarantining in Brisbane. So I got a lovely view of Surfers Paradise out my window. So, you know, that's
cruel.
It's nice and refreshing when you open the window and you're like, oh, it's a wonderful day outside.
That you can't really enjoy because you can't go out of the hotel.
Yeah, I'm counting down the days until Tuesday morning. I'm like, I'm packing my bags, I'm going downstairs, and I'm walking 200 metres to the beach and going for a swim. So, it's a nice little incentive.
I can imagine. Well, Georgia, really appreciate your time. Best of luck. Hopefully you get the call up to play in the starting 11 for Australia in this series, and hopefully it all goes well for you. All the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. It's good speaking.